This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Another $200 million movie?
So,
it's expensive.
Welcome
well,
to Best
Buy. The cost to make it.
It wasn't quite that expensive.
No?
No.
Okay.
You probably get asked this question at least a dozen times a year, but I'm going to do it again. Anyway.
Good.
According to the Internet Movie Database, you've got at least 10 projects in various stages of production right now. Sure. Probably another half a dozen in development. There are between 6 and 10 television series that you have in production.
Right.
How many clones do you have?
I don't. I have just a great team of people between the people that work in our office and people at Disney and then in television, the people at Warner Brothers. It's just they're all value added. They make me look good all the time.
Well, yeah. Entertainment Weekly just named you one of the 50 smartest people in Hollywood,
right.
And said you also pay specific attention to and participate in every single one of these productions as well. What kind of toll does that take on you, or is that what you live for?
You know what? It's I'm not working in a factory. I'm not an accountant. It's a creative business, and it's fun to do. Although we have days, we wish we didn't have to replay, because we all go through those kind of days. But in the end, you have something that you can be very proud of, like this movie that you work hard on, and you get to enjoy other people enjoy it, and that's the best part of the whole thing. It's the end game. It's the end game that when you're done, you're going to reach, hopefully tens of millions of people and make their day a little bit better.
Seems like only a few years ago you really weren't in the sequel business at all, and now you have this franchise,
yeah.
Pirates, Bad Boys had a sequel.
Right.
Was there something that happened that made you see a way to continue stories in a satisfying way?
No, it all depends on the film itself and the characters. That cops you can always have. There's always another crime. Treasure hunters, there's always another treasure they're seeking. Certain pictures, lend themselves. Pirates, there's always another adventure. They're always seeking something that's not right, So that's fun. We tried to develop something on Top Gun years ago. We just didn't go anywhere. We've been asked a number of times to develop a sequel to The Rock. Again, we couldn't come up with anything that we felt was interesting to do, because there were more, enclosed stories.
But this one, wasn't it started with the idea like Pirates?
Never. No.
But this was a one-off.
But this movie clearly leaves an open for a third.
Yes.
Is there a script in the works?
No, nothing.
You haven't figured out what's on that page?
The writers might know. They haven't told me yet. But I don't know. And they're not going to tell me now because they're on strike.
After seeing the finished project, films all together, what are you most proud of this film?
I think the most fun of this is the ride that it takes you on. It's a movie that kind of builds slowly and then starts to take off, and it's so nice. And I think I'm so proud of the fact that we have this wonderful relationship between John Boyd and Helen Mirren.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's such a nice addition to this movie because it's unexpected, and that's what I like about it.
Is she signed for another sequel?
No.
Should there be one?
No, nobody is.
Oh, really?
And how did you get Helen Mirren? Was this after the Academy Award?
Yes.
After she won it?
Yes, we sent her the script. Very simple, and she liked the character, and we worked with her on the character, and we paid her well. These are all good things.
And how do you, Nick was talking about how you always get, you worked with Ed Harris before.
Yeah.
What about and he also said there was a tightrope act on a Jerry Bruckheimer film involving the script, that you were working on it constantly, you never knew what the dialogue might be until the day you show up. Can you talk about how that sort of feeds the project or the way you work to make things, as good as they can be?
Yeah, I don't think they're ever good enough, so we're constantly trying to make it better. And our writers, the majority of the time, are on the set working with the director to try to, come up with something that, you'll walk on a set and you'll see something, you'll see a vase, or you'll see something that, oh, wow, we could just have some fun with this. So that's what we try to do.
And he said the tabletop scene where they were trying to balance, that they had to go back and reshoot that a couple times to try to get that to work. Is that you saying this really just doesn't work on paper every 2 days?
Yeah, I don't pay for it. Somebody else does. But I convince them to pay for it. Let's put it that way.
Okay. The holidays are coming up. What does someone get Jerry Bruckheimer for Christmas?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Are there any gadgets or toys you want?
I usually buy them myself. So it's hard.
So any plans for this holiday to make it special?
We usually go to Kentucky. Hopefully we'll get there. Although I shouldn't be saying this in such a large group, because my mother, who claims she's 82, is about to turn 103. So which is kind of interesting. And she always says, "I'm only 82, so don't tell anybody." So I certainly go. I'm going to throw a little party for her. That's
really neat. Many video game fans have been frustrated by Hollywood's inability to deliver the goods, and you're going to be making Prince of Persia.
Right.
What can you tell fans of that series that they can look forward to for that franchise?
I think we hired a very interesting director, Mike Newell, who did one of the Harry Potters and also the Donnie Brasco. And he's a very inventive, ingenious director, and I think he's going to bring something really special to it. And we're just starting to, we have a screenplay. We're just starting to develop the look of it, so it'll be unique and fresh.
Is this one of these properties that you envision the possibility of, A, a franchise, and B, is this going to be a really big film the way like a National Treasure is?
Yes, it's a big production, and if they work, and it's another character you can take on to other adventures.
Do you have any casting on it?
Not yet.
Can you do for video games what you did for theme park rides?
I don't know. We'll see.
Is that script set in stone now because they can't develop?
Well, we're not going to film till June, so I'm hopefully the writers will come to some kind of consensus with the studios and we can continue.
And what's your take on the strikers, on the writer's strikes?
I just think it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate time to have a strike. It's coming into Christmas, and our crews for our television shows are all shut down, so a lot of these kids aren't going to get the kind of Christmases that they deserve. People are going to lose their homes, our crew members. It's sad. It's really sad. I hope they can work it out so that, a lot of this doesn't happen. But the problem you have is that they're doing so much negotiating during the press rather than sitting in a room and doing it. And we're fortunate now because they are talking, which is good. And I think if it breaks off, it's going to be a very long strike, which is sad.
What do you make of the position that they don't know if the Internet will be profitable? Isn't that a little, isn't it safe to think someday they'll find a way to make that?
It will, but I think you don't know how it's going to be profitable. You look what happened to the music business. You thought that the CDs were going to be the thing of the future, and all of a sudden iTunes pops up, and the record companies are all in trouble, and then you have Napster, and they're taking everything for free. So there's so many things that they don't know, that they want to find out what it is first before they start giving away money. Not that I'm taking the studio side, because I'm not, but I think the time to it's when you're making a lot of money, it's easy to give money up, because you're making a lot of money. You're not making a lot of money yet. So this might, to me, it's a little premature to go through all this into a dark area.
You are aware that Bob Iger and Rupert Murdoch, yeah, and Sumner Redstone have all quoted Internet revenues in the tens of billions of dollars just for the coming year already?
I don't know about that. I think they say that to Wall Street to get them all hyped up, to project their stocks going up. So I don't know what the reality is.
What's the difference?
Wouldn't they just be giving away a percentage of zero if it doesn't end up being profitable?
I don't think so. I think they have to pay money whether it's a failure or not. You invest a lot of money in a movie, and it could not bring any returns in. So I think you'd like to make somebody in a movie before you're giving money back.
No, I mean the percentage that the writers are asking.
Don't know.
Movies never make money, though.
Well, net money, they don't.
So what's the difference between a PG movie like this, a family-directed film, and the pirate movies, I guess? Were they PG or PG-13?
PG-13.
And going to an R, do you worry about the ratings boards? Do you go into a movie with the idea that you're going to have a rating for this, that you've got?
Yeah, we knew this was, we wanted to make this a PG movie. The first one, we didn't know what we were doing. We honestly thought we were making a PG-13 movie. And when I read the script, I went to Dick Cook and I said, "Dick, this is a Disney movie. It wasn't originally a Disney movie." And I said, "There's nothing in here that would give you even a PG-13. And then he changed it was going to be a Touchstone film, and he changed it.
Any word on any updates on Pirates 4?
No, nothing. Not with the writers out. They can't even think about it. So.
I don't mean to go back to it, but could you talk about why or how you got involved with Prince of Persia?
It's a game that was brought to us early on, and I thought it was very exciting. I thought it was an interesting, first of all, it's an interesting period, and it's something that other people weren't doing. So I always like to go into arenas that other filmmakers aren't in.
And do you already envision any challenges of trying to film in the, you know, mid-ages? I guess it's the mid-ages?
Yeah, I think it's the 8th or 9th century, but, it, you know, that could change, too. It might change it a little bit. We're not sure yet. But it'll definitely be, you know, a period film. We're not going to make it contemporary, so.
Where do stars fit into the Jerry Bruckheimer movie universe? Do you feel like it's pretty essential to have a, you know, an A-list star in your movies, especially if the budget's going to be over $100 million?
Project by project, you never know. Yeah. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
It's really nice
to... You work with Nicolas Cage in 5 movies. What makes him one of your favorite actors?
Because you never know where he's going. You never, you know, certain actors, you watch them and you know their mannerisms. You know what they're going to give you. With Nick, you never know what's going to happen. You know, how he's going to take a scene, what he's going to do with a scene, what he does with a character. You know, he's such a gift that he's so quirky and interesting to watch. You love watching him. You know, he's just such a good guy, too, and you see it. You know, you see it when you watch him. It's somebody you want to have around. You know, you like him as a brother or as a, you know, somebody who marries your daughter. So he's just fun. Yeah.
I think before your films, no one would have thought of Nick or Johnny Depp as action guys.
Right.
What made you see that they could do that?
They're great actors. Great actors can do anything. They really can.
Was there something about the projects you matched them to that took advantage of their abilities where other filmmakers might not have been?
Well, Nick's a very physical, imposing individual. He's very health conscious. He works out a lot. Johnny's a very agile actor. I mean, he's a phenomenal mimic. You know, he can mimic anything. And it's just fun to watch him work physically. How gifted he is.
Any thoughts about going up against Johnny on opening day this time around?
I wish it didn't happen, because I'm sure the movie's fantastic, and I'm sure he's great in it, because it's a really good filmmaker. It's a great filmmaker. And he's a terrific actor, so you know, I wish we weren't going head-to-head. But fortunately for us, they're not in as many theaters as we are. So,
what's coming next for you? Well, that's an R-rated movie too.
Johnny's movie.
What's next for you?
Well, we're doing a movie called G-Force right now, which is half animated, half live action, and we're starting Confessions of a Shopaholic, which is a series of books, end of January that Isla Fisher's starring in. So that this will be our next release.
Now, if you rewrite on the set, are you going to be able to do that, or have you, you from starting?
No, I think we have a very good script, and actors improvise anyway, so I think we'll be fine. Even when they're not supposed to, they do it. So,
Nick is supposedly doing the voice in G-Force.
Right.
And how hard was it to get him to do that voice?
I think when he saw the character and you know, read the script, I think he saw how much fun it is. It's always about the material.
What have been your favorite movies of the year?
I haven't seen enough of them to tell you the truth.
No.
I'll tell you what I liked. I liked 3:10 to Yuma. I thought that was a really good movie. I liked Michael Clayton. I liked, that musical. What is the name of it?
Hairspray or Across the Universe?
Across the Universe.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. So those are, and I liked American Gangster. So those are the ones that I remember.
You know, Judd Apatow has had a lot of comedies produced this year. He might be becoming the Jerry Bruckheimer of comedy. Do you see anything in his trajectory that you relate to?
You know, I just think his movies are terrific. I loved Superbad, and I liked, Knocked Up? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love both those films. So, you know, he's a talented guy.
Someone's leaving.
Jerry, when somebody brings you, I don't know, if you talk to the effects guys or just the writers, create some absolutely way beyond Rome Burns kind of scene, do you ever say, we can't do that, or just because of the technology today, yeah, we can do that? Is there anything you go, no?
No, there's nothing we can't do. There's certain things we can't afford, but nothing we can't do.
Thank you guys for coming along.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
When would you decide if you're going to do a sequel to a number 3 to National Treasure
2? Yeah, you'll see about a month afterwards if the picture performs.
And is this going abroad around the same time it opens here?
In some markets, yes. In other markets, no.
If for some reason the studio decides they don't want to do Treasure 3, will you, on the DVD release, tell everybody what's on page 47?
No. We don't know.
Because he doesn't know.
And are there any remakes that you'd like to do? Movie? Have you optioned any properties where you said...
I can remember.